Anyway, hopefully the Lord would bless today and give us insight into His Word and help us to understand what life is all about. You know, this song really expresses life in a magnificent way. God leads us along through the journey of life. Even when we don't recognize it, even when life has become more to us than God, God still leads us. You know, a lot of people say, well, how is that? But if you're heaven bought, and what I mean, if you were bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven born and heaven bound, God leads you. Question is, what kind of followers are we? Are we good followers of God's lead? God still leads us, I believe. He leads us sometimes into shady green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. I shall not want. He is my shepherd. The Lord is our all in all. There's so much in the Word of God that directs our attention to God being first and foremost in our life in all things. But regardless of whether He is or not, He's leading us along. Sometime where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. He says, my yoke is light. And He says, my burden is easy. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He created all things for His pleasure. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I are here today because of the pleasure of Almighty God, for no other reason. We're not any more special than anyone else. We were blessed to be born to live in a land that we will look at similar to the land of Canaan, if you would. We've been blessed to live in a land of abundance, prosperity. And these things have taken a vast toll upon our land down through the ages. Anyone that does not believe that has no knowledge of God's Word and understanding of this is nothing new under the sun. You know, the Bible tells us, according to Solomon's wisdom, being no one greater with wisdom than Solomon, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, He said, the eye is never satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. Sometimes it's just hard for us to be satisfied, is it not? The flesh is a great problem. It says, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children. Have you ever been on that mountain and life is going grand and everything's just the way you want it, or at least you think it is? What a day it is when God shines His bright light upon your life. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads His dear children. We've all walked in those valleys. Unfortunately, for me, and I think for a lot of us, a lot of where we walk in life in those dark valleys was self-inflicted. Mine certainly was. I look back upon my life. You know, I'm old enough now to at least look back at 40 or 50 years and see the road that I went down, the footprints that I laid, and the problems that existed in my life, and compare those to the Word of God. When I was young, I couldn't look out and see those things because they hadn't happened. That's why I said a few weeks ago, my perspective is far greater today, or far different than it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I was just about to turn 14 years old. So there's been a lot of water under the bridge, and I'm thankful to be able to remember some of it. A lot of it seems to be hard to remember. I tell folks, when the water goes under the bridge, if it gets too far down the stream, it's hard for me to gather it up anymore. But some things I do remember, and I do remember my going to the house of God and the importance it was and the unimportance that it was, you might say, for many, many years. It says, sometimes on the mount of sunshine, so bright, and in that valley, He also says, though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads us. Even when we have a hard time realizing that God is leading us, He is. You know, in Luke chapter 15, there was two sons. A lot of people refer to him as the prodigal son, the younger one. But I refer to him as the rebellious son. The world became very important to him. He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to go out and live the way he wanted to live, do the things he wanted to do. And God led him to the end of his way. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in my life God led me to the end of my way. It's just a fact. You know, I can look back now and I can see that. Things that I see now, I couldn't see when I was a young man. But God was still leading us. He leads all his children. He leads us on. He says, through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. Satan's a trouble in our life. And that's not going away in this life. He's a liar. And unfortunately, many of God's children have bought into his lies over time, myself included. Matter of fact, there was a time in my life that I actually thought that sin could be all right and make me a better in the sight of God. What a crazy idea could that have been? Friends, Satan is real. Satan is powerful. Satan can mess with your mind and change your ideas and your thoughts in a way that are not God-honoring. He goes on and says, and away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children. This is one of the greatest sayings, I believe, in this song. What is the mire? It's the world. It's the mud. It's the junk that we find to be so important. And the clay is nothing more than our flesh. There's a real war going on in our lives. It's went on in the children of God's lives for years and years. And there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh and the spirit. The Apostle Paul was a man who had a lot of pride. Matter of fact, he was so proud in his service unto God, at least he thought, that he was having Christians thrown in jail, consenting to their murders, even children. But when God dealt with that man changed forever. The world never became important to Paul again. Wonder why? When he was knocked down upon that road, and I didn't have that experience in my life, but Paul had it. He says, Lord, who art thou, and what wilt thou have me to do? From that time forward, Jesus Christ was the first and foremost thing in the Apostle Paul's life, should be in our lives. Some folks will say, well, Paul was a great man, chosen of God. If you're going to heaven, you're chosen of God. Because you didn't choose God, he chose you. We love him because he first loved us. That's what the Bible teaches. He says, away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children. God leads us from the day to day in this life, whether you realize it or not. And God's going to lead his children to eternity one day. What a day that'll be when our Jesus we shall see. I yearn for that day. I wish it was today more than you can imagine. I do. You know, the troubles and the trials of this life begin to become heavy and burdensome, whatever they might be. He goes on and says in the chorus, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. God's children have experiences of all kinds in life. And whether we are good followers or not, God is leading us. I believe he led that rebellious son to the end of his way. And what a change there was in that young man's life. He's seen the Lord first and foremost as he had not seen him in his life. He leads some of us through the fire, and that's something that we don't want to talk about in life. Let's go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're just going to read a little bit here, and we're going to move back over into the Old Testament. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul was wise. He had got this wisdom from God Almighty, from Jesus Christ. This wasn't wisdom of man. It was wisdom that came directly from God. The Bible tells us that God's wisdom is more precious than silver or gold or precious stones. Nothing can compare to the wisdom of God. He said, I'm a wise master builder. I'm building upon something. And he built upon that all the days of his life until the Apostle Paul was beheaded. He fought for the Lord. He preached the gospel. He was persecuted. He was thrown out. And you know, we don't think about those things because we've lived in the land of abundance, the land of great ease, seeking what we want, doing our own will. And we'll talk more about that. But you know, the Bible tells us that for whatsoever things were written for our learning. We ought to learn these things, and it ought to have a great impact on our lives. It ought to have a great impact upon society, upon government, upon a nation. But as we study the children of Israel and the roller coaster they were on, I believe you can compare the roller coaster of today being just like that. When Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, he knew what he was talking about. There's nothing new happening today that man's heart has always been deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah said. That's our human nature. That's our flesh. He goes on and he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, I spent majority of my life and I built upon a house of sand, if you would. A house that God said when the storms come, it will fall. And great will be the fall. Have you built your house upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Because the storms are coming. They've came in the past. They're coming today. And they'll continue to come as long as you breathe air and live in this life. There's no end to whatever that storm may be. Paul said there is no other foundation. There's nothing other than Jesus Christ. It was for His pleasure that you were created. It was for His honor. We're told that, wherefore, whatsoever you doeth, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you doeth, do it all to the glory of God. That's our purpose in this life. To make sure that whatever we're doing is to glorify God. But the flesh will battle with you all the way. We either yield to the flesh or we yield to the Spirit. If you're a child of God, you have that battle. And that's how it's going to be in life. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, or hay, or stubble, it says every man's work shall be made manifest. God's going to manifest it. It'll be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He shall be blessed. I believe this verse tells us that if Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything we do in life, in the church, in our family, in our work, Jesus first, always. Always. Every decision we make in life based upon Jesus and His righteous and holy will. We need to think about those things. It says, shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, he will receive reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That verse was put in the Bible for me. I don't know about you, but it was put in there for me. God can burn away the dross. God can burn away the things that have become so important to me in my life. And take those things away. And yet He didn't take my life. God leads us through the fire sometime. Maybe you hadn't been led through the fire. I don't know. But He's led me through the fire. I've experienced that. And I understand it. And when you come out of that fire, you'll see God in a whole different perspective. You know, I wondered why fire troubles had to come over and over in our lives. You'd think one trouble and one problem would be enough. And in many ways, it's more than enough. But yet, things change as time goes on, and I find myself drifting away. Yet God is leading me. God leads us sometimes back into His fold, back into His house. You know, it talks about back over in Luke chapter 15 about the 99 sheep that were there and the one that went astray. And God went out and He led that one back. It's easy to go astray. Temptation is great. Satan is there and he's lying to us. He's lied to us from the very beginning. He's the father of lies. And the first lie he ever told was believed by Eve. We can become gods and do whatever we want. We can be as God Almighty. We say to ourselves we don't believe that, but do we really live it? Do we live for Jesus Christ? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Capital G. God is the Lord of your life. The Lord of everything that we do and say. Friends, we didn't end up where we are today in the decline of Christianity. The decline of the church is by accident. We just didn't. This is not a coincidence. It's God sitting up there saying, "What happened, folks? I can't believe it." No. God's word lays it out. God's word laid it out to the children of Israel. I want to read a few verses out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, then we're going to finish up our time in Deuteronomy chapter 8 today. It says in verse 32, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of a fire, as thou hast heard and lived, or live?" You know, a lot of times people say, "Well, that's Old Testament history. What's that got to do with me?" Friends, I'm going to tell you, the way we live our lives and conduct our lives is the most relevant to me in the teachings of the Old Testament of anything we have set before us. You know, the heart is desperate, deceitful. Bible tells us that. That didn't change when Jesus Christ come. We're the same kind of sinners that they was back then. We have the same kind of hearts and the same kind of desires. Says, "Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord our God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" We're going to talk a little bit about what God did when he led his children by the hand of Moses out of Egypt. Has God led you out of the wilderness in your life? There is a wilderness that you can live in this life. God led these folks around that murmured and complained and griped. It never was good enough for these folks. It never was. Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content." That means to be satisfied. Nobody that I've ever known, not in this country, is satisfied. It doesn't matter how much we prosper. Most of us, there's a few, but the majority of us are never satisfied. Paul said that was something I had to learn. I think you learn that at the hand of Jesus Christ. These people never did learn it. Matter of fact, they complained. They mourned against God. They said, "You brought us out here to bury us in the wilderness. Were there not enough graves in Egypt?" Complain and gripe. Their unbelief and their disobedience was unreal. And he led them in that desert around and around Mount Sinai for 40 years till every one of them died. That was above 20 years of age. God led them all right. He didn't forsake them. He kept with them. He provided for them even out there. We'll read about that in a little bit. Verse 35, "Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him." You know, when we're told over in Isaiah chapter 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." We need to take heed to that. God doesn't think like we do. A lot of times we live as though God thinks like we do. Or we want God to think like we do, but he doesn't. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are our ways his ways. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee this great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers before, he chose their seed after them and brought thee into his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Who did they say their God was? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know he's our God today. Same God that was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of his people today. He's no different. He's a God that has never changed and never will change. To drive out the nations before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, that there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee this day, and it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. You know one of the great commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's what we're told to do. That's one of the commandments that God has given us. He is God and he is God alone. I hope he's the Lord of our life. I fear that so many idols have come along in this world that they've taken the place of Jesus Christ as the preeminence in their life. It's really easy to do. I've done it a lot myself. In chapter 8, we begin and it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Have you ever felt God has led you in the wilderness? He led these people out there 40 days to humble them. I guarantee you, and I don't guarantee much, but we can be humbled on the mighty hand of God. God can humble us in ways that we cannot even express. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. This was the beginning of their complaining. They came out into the wilderness. God was leading them, a cloud by day and a fire by night. And they came to the Red Sea. And they were sore afraid. God had led them to this point. But they come to the conclusion, this is where they come to die. Oh, what trust they had in the Lord. You know, we wouldn't have been any different. Then they parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. God himself did that. Brought a great east wind. He allowed Pharaoh and his chariots and his army to go into that water, and he rolled that water upon them and drowned them all. They get into the wilderness not shortly after that great miracle, and they complain that they didn't have anything to eat. Notice what it said here, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Who said those words again? Jesus Christ spoke those words in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan was trying to tempt him. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not some of the words, not what tickles our fancy, not what applies to our wants and needs, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we're to live by. Old Testament, New Testament alike, that hadn't changed. Thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Isn't that miraculous? God sustained these people even though they were, I think, led to judgment to be in a land because of unbelief and disobedience. They walked around in this wilderness for 40 years. I can't imagine Their clothes never got worn or torn. Their feet never swelled. Their shoes never got old. You think God can't provide? Think again. We pray every day in this land, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know of anyone in this congregation, and I may not know every day that you lived, but I know in my lifetime I've never prayed that prayer with sincerity. I've always had something in the refrigerator. I've always had something in the cupboard. I've never woke up one morning and say, God, if you don't provide, I can't eat today. There are people in this world that did that. Matter of fact, the widow woman that Elijah went to in 1 Kings chapter 17 was at that exact point. She said, I'm going to make my last meal and me and my son are going to die. But the Lord provided for these folks walking around out there in that wilderness, 11-day journey from Mount Sinai to the promised land. And yet they died out there as God had told them because of their unbelief and their disobedience. Because God wasn't first. Moses went up into the mountain for a few days and they made him a golden calf. Made them something to worship. You think idols are not a problem in our life? Think again, they really are. They're a big problem in my life. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You know, a lot of people in the world today, when they're preaching from God's word, they don't want to preach about chastening. But God says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. If you be without chastisement, which all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're not one of God's chosen. You're not one of God's heaven-bought, heaven-born, heaven-bound children. That's just a fact. Because if you are, at some given point in your life, you're going to be chastened. You might not be chastened with the severity that I might have felt I was. He didn't say there was only one level of chastening, just as it is with your own children. But be ready and be sure. It will happen. There are people who tell you that if you do this and you do that, you won't be. But friends, we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. These folks had been in hard bondage for 430 years. And God brings them out and he leads them. And he's leading them to the promised land. But they don't even get started good before the complaining goes on. They weren't satisfied with anything. That's a real problem that we all have in life. None of us are satisfied with anything. Especially in the good old U.S. of A. And I know I knock on it, and I thank God I was born in this country. But that's a blessing. We could have been born in a lot of countries that didn't have what we've had. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Friends, I'm going to tell you, I was born into that land. I wasn't born into Canaan, but something similar. I was born into a land that was abundance. Never went a day in my life worrying about eating. My problem was worrying about what all I could get in this world and in this life. That's really what consumed me. I never did give any concern to eating because we always had plenty to eat. It was my wants that I wanted to fulfill. You know, I've noticed in life, no matter what you get, it's never enough. That's why we're not satisfied. Need just a little more of this, a little more of that, whatever it is that we want. We all need a little more of it. Everybody's different. It says, a land wherewith thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Is that not this land today? Is there a greater comparison to the land that flowed with milk and honey than the land that we live in? I hadn't found it. I don't know of it. You know, I remember going to that movie, about football players that had a head injury, and a guy, a doctor in Africa, he determined what the problem was. As football players in pro football years ago. And the first thing he said was, as people around the world looked at the good old U.S. of A., they saw heaven right here in the United States right there. That's what he said, and I thought, how could they compare this place to heaven? It tells you how much less they have than we do. But we're never satisfied. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's nothing new. This has been going on for ages and for years. It says, land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Thank God and be satisfied with your provision. You know, I think we ought to be thankful and satisfied with the provision of God and God alone. And God will give us the provision we need. Beware and not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're just not under the Old Testament. The law doesn't matter. God's laws still stand today. He is a God of love, but he is also a God of judgment. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. You know, I've noticed in my own life, I don't speak for anyone else, it's easy to forget God in trying to apply to have all these things in life. Matter of fact, I probably spent 20 years just, I didn't totally forget him, but he sure wasn't on my radar like he should have been. I'm honest with you about that. But that's why the Lord said over here, he chastened these children, he chastens his children today. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, wherein there was no water. God led them in this time. In their time of complaint, he was still leading them. What a God we have. Sometimes he leads us through the fire. He leads us through the waters. He can lead us through the floods. Especially, he led us through the blood. The blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through his blood that we're here today. It's through his blood that we have hope of a better day, a better time, even hope for revival. But friends, we're living in the land of abundance, the land of prosperity. As you look around at the laws that have been made in the last several years, laws that are directly against the teachings of God's word, I don't mind saying it. They were born male and female, end of it. That's how God created them. He didn't create you to be what you wanted to be. If you look in the Bible and you find where sodomy has risen up in a nation, God destroyed it. The God we serve today is the same as the God we've served in those days. He's never changed. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Our God is no different. Even though we're living in the New Testament times, his Ten Commandments are still real. His statutes still stand. But thank God we ain't got to keep the law, because if we had had to keep the law, none of us would have went to heaven. By God's grace and his grace alone, we'll go to heaven. He said, who brought thee forth water out of the rock flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. God doesn't do anything to cause our latter end or our lives to be worse. He does it for our good. And sometimes it's hard to swallow that there's any good in some things that happen. But that's what he does. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of my mind hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Remember God. He's easy to forget in the hustle and bustle of the life we live. You know, it's not remember God, remember me on the Sabbath, on Sunday. It's remember me every day. It's remember me in everything. It's remember me in my job, in my home. Whatever it is that I'm doing, that Jesus Christ always has the preeminence. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods. What are other gods? Anything you place in your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a graven image or a wooden statue. It can be a sports team. It can be entertainment. It can be self. It can be money. It can be anything that has priority in your life above Jesus Christ. All things consist and are held together by his mighty power. And the things that he provides for you and I today, they help us along the way to we're called home. And serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. You know, in this country, we may all perish together. We may perish individually. Perishing doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to lose your life. When God leads you through the fire sometimes, especially the fire of judgment, he may burn away the dross, materialistic things of life, to get your attention. But here's what he says about these people. He done everything in the world for them. He's fed them from heaven, brought water out of a rock. He made sure their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't get sores on their feet for 40 years. How'd you like to not have changed clothes for 40 years or shoes for 40 years? Guarantee on them was pretty good, I bet. Verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish. God said, I've destroyed the obstacles in your life. When other things in life become your God, he says, I'll destroy you as I destroyed them. That's what the perishing can be. We can live in this life and be of all misery and still be living. Sometimes I think that God leaves us here that way. Brother George used to always say, Lord's going to leave me here for a while longer to suffer in this life. Sometimes he does that, but he's still leading us. And one day he's going to take us by the hand and he's going to lead us home. And all the troubles that we deal with in this life and all the problems that we've had will be no more. What a day that'll be. I look forward to it. I just encourage you to never forget the Lord thy God, because in this world, in this country, in my opinion, that's exactly what's happened. The idols of every kind known to man have distracted us from God Almighty. We don't pray like we ought to pray. We don't seek God's face like we ought to pray. You know, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise. But knowing what the will of God is in Ephesians chapter 5. It takes a lot of prayer to know what God's will is in our life. And it takes a lot of effort to seek God on a daily basis. I pray that each one of us never forget the Lord our God and that God would bless us in doing so.